Then ask for your earnest and undivided attention whilst we call forward our speaker, Mr. Arthur Hughes, to deliver his remarks on that subject, the second coming of Christ. Brother Arthur, please.
Second coming of Christ, or to say the complete title of our address this evening, the second coming of Christ, the only Christian hope. This title, the second coming of Christ, the only Christian hope, makes two bold statements, does it not? One, that the Lord Jesus Christ is to return to the earth. In the second, that his return to the earth is the only way that a Christian or a believer in Christ can obtain or realize that hope. Yet correctly considered, this cuts right across the hope of Christendom at large. For the hope of Christendom, as everyone is aware, is that at death, their soul, or the immortal spark they believe that they have within them, flies to heaven, there to be with their Lord in everlasting bliss. In their eyes, there is no need for the Lord Jesus Christ to return to this earth, for they themselves will go to heaven, to his very dwelling place, and live there with him. Forgetting for a moment that millions believe this, and is in fact the teaching of the whole Christendom at large, let us, with our Bibles in hand this afternoon, check the scriptures to see if the title of our address is correct. That the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to the earth, and that it is the only way that a man's hope can be realized. And it must be said, that is not a difficult task to do, to prove, though millions upon the earth believe otherwise. Remembering too the words of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, that it's not billions or millions who will accept him, but he said, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Few that find that glorious hope that is shown forth in the scriptures. First of all, we find, which is a surprise to most people, that the hope of man is bound up in the hope of Israel. For the Apostle Paul, he whom the Lord Jesus sent into the world to preach the gospel, which means the good news of the kingdom of God and the saving name of Jesus Christ, said to King Agrippa, to whom he had been called before, because of his belief in the risen Christ, King Agrippa said to him, I stand and am judged for the hope of Israel. Let's turn to Acts 26 and verse 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26 and verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Verse 4, and my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope and the promise made of God unto our fathers, and to which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope, sake in Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? Why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints said, I should have been prisoner, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they put to death, I gave my voice against them. But the Apostle Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. And the Apostle Paul realized how wrong he was. And he says to King Agrippa, for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, and to which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. The Apostle Paul's hope was, as we have seen, the promise made unto the fathers, and to which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. Now in the chapter our president read for us this afternoon from the Acts of the Apostles, we have there recorded the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection from the dead had spent 40 days teaching the disciples concerning himself and the things of the kingdom of God. That kingdom that he himself would set up on his return to the earth. Turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 1. And here we read in verse 6. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? The question that was on the minds of the disciples was regarding the hope of Israel and the kingdom of God to be set up upon the earth. And they wanted to know, well, when is it going to be set up? If Jesus was going to be the King of Kings, when would he set up this kingdom that they hoped for? They asked the Lord Jesus, wilt thou at this time restore it? That time when they were with him, he answered them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons, he says, which the Father hath put in his own power. But, he said, they would receive power after the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and they would be witnesses of Christ both in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. So before this kingdom would be set up, the disciples, the apostles, were to go throughout the known world of that day, preaching the things regarding the kingdom and the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not now to Jews only, but to Jews and Gentiles. And to do this work, they were to remain in Jerusalem, he said, until they would be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, which would bring all things that they had been taught to their minds. And it would enable them to do miraculous healings and wonderful works, so that when they preached the gospel of the kingdom, the people would know that they had come from God, because no man would be able to do the miracles that they did unless they had come from God or was of God. Before they left that place which Christ went up into heaven, the angels present at that time, on seeing the disciples looking up at their beloved Lord as he departed into heaven, and they said to them quite clearly in verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as he had seen him go into heaven. This the apostles now would understand. For the psalmist as well had said Christ would ascend to the right hand of the Father, and later he would come again to make his enemies his footstool and reign upon the earth. Regarding the kingdom in which Christ will rule, we shall see from the scripture that it is the restored kingdom of Israel, which had its zenith in the reign of David's illustrious king's son Solomon. Its magnificence was well known throughout the whole world, that this kingdom was God's kingdom, which Solomon ruled over is evident, for when Israel sought for a king to rule in the days of the judges to the displeasure of the prophet Samuel, God said to Samuel, "Hearken unto them and all that they do, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them," proving without a shadow of doubt that that kingdom was God's kingdom on earth. It was the kingdom of God on earth at which Solomon ruled over. And it was a wonderful kingdom. When the Queen of Sheba came, she was astounded at the glory and the beauty of the kingdom. But because of Israel's disobedience and in the crucifying of God's son, the kingdom was taken from them. And they were scattered throughout the world. They had been warned of God time and time again that this would be the case if they rebelled against this word. And it came to pass until God brought the judgments upon them. He brought the judgment upon the 10 tribes, and they were scattered and taken away by the Assyrians and have not returned to Israel. The tribe of Judah was taken away in AD 70, and they have not returned either. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 21, speaking of the time when Israel will be returned and they will have a king over them. Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 25. Chapter 21 and verse 25. Here was the last king of Israel. His name was Zedekiah or Mattaniah. And God said through the prophet Ezekiel, "And thou profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose days come when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. I will overturn the kingdom, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him." We notice here that though God was going to take away the kingdom from them, of which he did, and there was no king of true Jewish origin who ever sat upon that throne after Zedekiah. But we notice here that though God was to take away the kingdom from them, it is evident, is it not, for the promises to come to pass, that kingdom must stand again upon the earth, and one who will come, on whom God will give him, will reign upon that throne. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ must return to the earth, and the Jews must return to the land again, which, as we shall see, is the case. The promises that God made with that man of faith, Abraham, was Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and out in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abraham has not yet received that promise, and neither have the others, David and his sons, received that promise. Let's turn to the record of that covenant with God made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God reiterated those promises to David. 2 Samuel and chapter 7. And here we read in verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them at any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of my bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of this his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house, and he is speaking to David, your Nathan, from God. Thine house, David, and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So looking at the important points of that covenant that God made with David, we see one, a time would come when Israel would dwell safely upon the earth. Two, a time when King David, who sleeps in the dust of the earth, a seed of his shall establish or re-establish the kingdom. It will be a time when that seed of David will build a house for God's name, and that God would establish the throne of David forever. Regarding that seed of David, God also said, I will be his father. He shall be my son, but my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, the first Israelitish king, to establish without doubt that this seed of David spoken of you is the Lord Jesus Christ. We only have to go to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Shall we go to the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 1 and verse 28 to show that this is the very one, the very seed of whom the promise is to. Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered her and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here we see that covenant made with David being realized. And God said, the angel said to Mary, And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But that kingdom is non-existent. That kingdom is non-existent. There is no kingdom of David in Israel at the present time. But turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 15 and to the words of the apostle there, the apostle Peter. Verse 12, and all the multitude, chapter 15, verse 12, and all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles of wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared of God that the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, After this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David. I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Thus saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Here then is the one spoken of God in Ezekiel, chapter 21 and verse 25, of which we read. Here is the one who will come and sit upon that throne of Israel. He will raise that tabernacle up, that kingdom, and he will rule in righteousness and peace. And history has shown that there has not been since the days of that king of Israel, that wicked Zedekiah, a Jew sitting upon the throne of Israel. There has never been since that day a Jew sitting upon the throne of Israel. We know very well that the kingdom was taken away. For 2,000 years the land was in wilderness. But God said that he would bring it to pass. He said none would sit upon that throne until that day when his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would sit upon it and rule the earth in righteousness. The Apostle Paul, when speaking to King Agrippa regarding his hope, said the Jews would serve God day and night in that kingdom. He said, did he not, that Christ should suffer, and that he should rise again from the dead, and show light or knowledge to the Gentiles, but they too, the Gentiles now, would be taught of that glad tidings, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too would now come under the same hope as the Jews. Turn to the 15th of Acts and chapter 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel, and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. Put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. They were now, if they believed the things concerning the kingdom of God, and were baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, The Gentiles now would have a hope of a part and a place in that glorious kingdom which is to be set up. Such was the emphasis of the Lord Jesus upon the gospel of the kingdom, that when the disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray," he said, "When he prays, say, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is now done in heaven.'" And through whom will it be done on earth? By the very one whose promise would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the Lord does not speak of the kingdom being in heaven, and not to be over anxious over what they should eat and drink, or what clothes they should wear, but that they should seek first of all the kingdom of God. Men should seek first of all the kingdom of God. In the covenant that God made with David, we read, did we not? "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee." Before thee. "Thy throne shall be established forever." Now it is obvious, is it not, for this kingdom to be established before David, David must be resurrected from the dead. Because he's certainly not in heaven. He's in the ground, in the dust of the ground, which is exactly what the Apostle Paul said to them in the day of Pentecost. He told the multitude gathering there where David was. Let's turn to the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2 and verse 29. "Men and brethren," he says, "let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried." He's not in heaven. He is dead and buried. "And his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus that God raised up were all the witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which ye see now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, 'The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool.' Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom he hath crucified both Lord and Christ." Peter is not entered into the heaven. Peter is in the dust of the earth. Sorry, David is not entered into the heaven, but he is in the dust of the earth awaiting the resurrection. Peter, who with all the other apostles had forsaken the things of this life as they walked with their beloved master, they forsook the things of this life to follow him and to preach with him. And Peter asked him, he said, "What shall we have in that day? We've given up everything to follow you. What will we have in that day?" And their beloved Lord answered them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also," you Peter, you Matthew, you but a being one walk with me, "shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Once again showing that the hope of the Jews and the hope of the Gentiles is not to live with Christ in heavenly bliss, but to have a part in the wonderful kingdom which shall be set upon the earth, where we shall be kings and priests with Christ upon the earth. To prove this point, let's just turn to the book of Revelations and verse 5, where we read of the song of the faithful in that day. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou hast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us and to our God kings and priests. We shall be kings and priests, and where shall we reign? Certainly not in heaven, and we shall reign on the earth." We shall reign on the earth. The scriptures abound with statements regarding this kingdom. And Isaiah the prophet gives a wonderful picture of its glory. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah in the 9th chapter and verse 6. Verse 6, "For unto us," says Isaiah, "a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government of shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom," and we notice it goes back to that kingdom all the time, "there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11. And we read in verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Yes, what a wonderful kingdom, and what a wonderful time is promised. This glorious hope of man then is to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years upon the earth in that glorious kingdom, that which the apostles spent their lives preaching throughout the world, speaking the coming of the Lord into his kingdom, and how a man could claim the place therein. It became all their hopes, as it was of David of years ago, and it became all their desire. They were prepared to die to preach that glorious hope in the service of their Lord, and they did die in the service of their Lord. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts of the Apostles in chapter 3. And verse 19. "Repent ye therefore," says Peter, "and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Yes, when the heavens must receive, the Lord Jesus Christ went into heaven But the angel said he would return until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. Turn to 1 Peter and chapter 5. 1 Epistle of Peter and chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's wonderful promise. Zechariah the prophet in the Old Testament says, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood before the Roman governor Pilate, he asked the Lord Jesus, art thou the king of the Jews? Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. He had previously said to the people, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It may be asked then, how is it that the majority of the people in the world do not believe what we have spoken here this evening? They do not believe in the restored kingdom to Israel, but believe that they go to heaven at death. How is it that the majority believe this? Turn first of all to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. First one. I charge thee therefore, says the Apostle Paul, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Also, let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1, of chapter 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the law that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That these things of what we have read is true, there is no doubt. teachers with itching ears have turned people from the truth of the Bible. Edward Gibbon, the historian, who was not a believer, wrote in his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, "The ancient doctrine of the millennium was intimately connected with the second coming of Christ, a joyful Sabbath of 1,000 years, as we have seen this evening, when Christ, with the triumphant bands of the saints and the elect who had escaped death and had been resurrected, would reign upon this earth. The assurance of such a millennium was carefully inculcated by a succession of fathers, from Justin Martyr and Irenaeus, who conversed with the immediate disciples of the apostles, down to Lactantius, who was the preceptor to the son of Constantine. But," says Gibbon, "this teaching of the Bible, of which we have looked at this evening, was gradually supplanted by error. And the doctrine of Christ's reign upon earth, as taught by the apostles, was first treated as a prolonged allegory, was then considered by degrees as a doubtful and useless opinion, and at length was rejected as the absurd invention of heresy and fanaticism." So as we have seen, as Christendom, as we have seen, and as we have been warned of by Gibbon, turned from the truth of God, turned from the very words of the Bible, and turned the words of God into a lie. The serpent said, God said to after the evil, tempted by the serpent, "Thou shalt surely die." My man says, "We shall live after we die in bliss." The Bible never states that man has got an immortal soul which wends its way to heaven, but teaches clearly that man is mortal, subject to sin, disease, and death, and whose only hope lies in resurrection and acceptance into the kingdom of God, if found acceptable at Christ's judgment seat. If we return to the, we won't do it if we haven't got time this evening, if we return to the epistles, first and second epistles of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, in each of those epistles and in every chapter, he speaks of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth and the blessings that would come. In the book of Revelation, we have the letters to the seven ecclesias and to the ecclesia of Thyatira. The Lord said, "To him that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." It might be asked today then, when will Christ come? When will Christ return to the earth to set up that kingdom? No one can give the actual date nor the hour, but we are given many indications that the day is very near. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 25. "And he said unto them," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "the kings of the Gentiles won't exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but he shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that is served. For whether he is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I among you that he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table and in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That the day of Christ's return will be one of great troubles upon the earth, there will be no doubt. Let us turn to the book of Daniel and chapter 12. The book of Daniel tells us that the return of the Lord Jesus to the earth will not be an easy affair, but as he said, he will come to rule over his enemies. Daniel chapter 12. And this one. And at that time shall Michael, that is the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, Michael, one like him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there shall be a time of trouble that never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Yes, amid violence and troubles of which the Lord Jesus Christ said to those of his day, as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot, times of violence and trouble, so shall the Lord return. Amid violence and troubles in which man can find no way out, the Lord Jesus will return to the earth. He will return to judge the earth in righteousness. And many of them, as we read in the book of Daniel, sleep in the dust of the earth, like David and the faithful of the ages, will be resurrected. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, said the prophet, as the stars for ever and ever. The righteous shall shine in the political heavens of that future age, kings and priests in that future age, in the kingdom of God. Here is the hope of man. Here is the only Christian hope for man. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He that believeth these things and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. With the troubles that are brewing in the Middle East, we might not see tomorrow in this earth. The Lord Jesus might have returned. That terrible war between Israel and the nations will have started. The Lord Jesus will come to judge the earth. Tomorrow may be too late. Today is the day of salvation.